welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to talk about the Minnesota Patriot Guard, the Patriot Ride, learn the mission of the Minnesota Military Family Assistance Centers, and get an update from the Minnesota National Guard's Command Sergeant Major. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Serving in the military can be a challenge. Our missions can be dangerous, and sometimes we're away from our families for longer than we'd like. Being in a military family can also be challenging, and juggling all of our family and military duties can sometimes get the best of us. I want you to know that when times get tough, there's a group of folks ready to lend a hand. They are the people of our Minnesota Military Family Assistance Centers. Located in 10 communities across Minnesota, our Family Assistance Centers can help with ID cards, financial and legal concerns, TRICARE information, and can also offer referrals to community resources and networks. Participation is voluntary, confidential, and open to family members of all services, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine, both active and reserve component. To learn more or to locate a Family Assistance Center near you, visit beyondtheyellowribbon.org or call 612-618-6927. That's 612-618-6927.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to minnesotamilitaryradio.com. As I said earlier, today we've got some special guests in the studio, and we're going to talk about the Minnesota Patriot Guard and an event, an annual event called the Patriot Ride. And joining me now is the president of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Doug Bly. Doug, welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Tom.
And I see the Hat of Courage brought in Tim Leonhardt. Tim, thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you, Tom.
Tim, you get here every few weeks, and we talk about the Minnesota Patriot Guard and your riders and
we do.
Your mission and all that stuff, but not very often do we have the boss with us.
That's so right.
I'm going to talk to Doug for a little bit. Doug, can you tell us what was the origin of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, and how does it work? What's your mission?
You know, the origin of the Patriot Guard Riders, which is a national organization, was started in 2005 in Kansas, and it was the American Legion Riders of Mulvane who really objected to the protesting taking place at the funerals for the fallen. They started the national movement really 2006. Andrew Kempel, who's from Anoka, was killed in February, and the Westboro Baptist Church came to Minnesota. And I think there was five or six of the first Patriot Guard riders who stood there with a flag and said, this is not going to happen. And really, since then, we've exploded in growth. We've got just under 5,000 email addresses we communicate with weekly. And, you know, we probably did, I think, close to 400 missions last year. So the mission scope of what we do is really, it's the first and primary mission. The one that's closest to all of our hearts is for those who are killed in action. And we're also now very engaged in repatriation, so they're bringing the remains they're identifying from Pearl Harbor, Korea. Veterans are coming in now, and we consider those the highest level mission that we do. Upon family's request, we will attend, and we're not there as counter-protesters. We're there to provide honor, dignity, and respect to the mission and to the family that's going on. We will stand for veterans as they pass away. Some of our most fun events are the welcome homes. You know, when the Red Bulls come home from Kuwait, we'll be there on the motorcycles. We're part of the deployment ceremonies, and we'll escort the buses to the airport and out of the state. And just a number of different things. We call it help on the home front, so every month we're at the vets' homes and hospitals, play bingo, and really just keep them engaged as well. They're often the forgotten veterans and our forgotten citizens, really, to a large degree. So we're there every month.
So just so we don't miss the point, the original flag line was some riders with their flags, and they stood between the family who was mourning and those protesters, and they kind of walled it off and said, no, you're not going to mess with that.
You know, it's,
but it was peaceful. You were just standing in between.
Again, you know, we're not counter-protesting. We're there to provide a shield of flags between the family and any possible protesters who may want to interrupt the service. And, you know, not to give advertising to the protesters who are out there. We've really turned the mission now to the family. It's entirely about them. You know, at their request, it's whatever their wishes are and whatever we can do to help show the honor, dignity, and respect that that military person has earned.
And Doug, you and I have talked about this before, but we lost a family member that was a fellow Vietnam veteran, grandfather on the other side, and at the church on a cold January day. We got there early because we had to, but there were already about 20 Patriot Guard riders there, out in the cold with their flags, lining the entrance to the church, and it was incredible. And they didn't leave until it was over, and that body was on the way. And it was so emotional. It's hard to believe if you haven't seen it.
I've been on the family side a couple times now of a mission where my friends in the Patriot Guard are there, and I'm getting the hair standing up in my arms now. I'm thinking about walking out of that church, and the flags are waving, and the veterans are saluting, and it really just lets you know, we as Americans are great people, and we care.
And I figured out that day while you guys wore dark glasses in the flag line.
No, we don't want you to see our tears as we're crying with you.
Well, and it was tough because I think I've told you this before. My son went up and down the line and shook hands and thanked every one of them. And I couldn't have been a more proud father watching him do that.
You know, not that motorcyclists have a bad reputation, but I think, you know, as we're standing there in our black leather jackets and our black sunglasses, and it can be intimidating to people who don't know us, but that's also part of our anonymity as we're standing there. And it's the American flag is the most important thing we're holding that day.
We're talking to Doug Blyden and Tim Leonard about the Minnesota Patriot Guard on Minnesota Military Radio. Tim, I want to come to you. Who's eligible to be a Patriot Guard rider?
Anybody that has a 3x5 flag and they want to be honoring our fallen heroes.
And like a lot of people have said to me over the years, it's not just a bunch of old Vietnam veterans that want to do it. It's anybody with a good heart.
Anybody
that wants to honor them.
At one time, I think it was about 50-50. 50% was ex-military veterans, and the other 50% were just normal, everyday people.
And they don't have to ride a motor scooter.
Nope.
As you said, I can come in my cage.
You can come in your cage.
And that's just fine. And tell us about the state of Minnesota. You've got it divided up into areas.
20 sectors. We got 20 sectors divided up into, it's not geographical, it's by zip code. And then in that sector, it's everybody that lives in that sector gets an email about what's going on in their sector. And then every week we also send one out for the whole state so everybody can see what's going on in the whole state.
So for our listeners on the 56 stations in the Minnesota Military Radio Network all over Minnesota, if they go to your website and sign up, which is what?
MNPatriotGuard.org.
And once they do that, then if there's a mission, they're going to get an email. They're going to get notified about the mission.
Yep.
And especially if it's in their portion of the state.
Yes.
And then if they want to go on a mission, all they have to do is show up and look for who? The ride captain.
The ride captain. The guy in charge.
What happens then, Doug?
You know, I think as you're there with the ride captain, you identify yourself as a new member. They'll usually buddy you up or partner you with an experienced member. And it's really about making them comfortable and no intimidation factor as you stand there with that family. But, you know, we have, you know, just some general rules, like there's no drinking pop, there's no use of tobacco on the flag lines. But most important, turn your cell phone off and there's no talking.
And the captain makes sure that he's accommodated the family and you're doing the things that they want.
We only do at the request of the family over there, and we do exactly what the family asks of us while we're there.
And that's another good point. If there's a family of a veteran out there, they want the Patriot Guard riders to come stand the line. How do they do that?
They go to our website, www.mnpatriotguard.org. And on the left-hand side, it says Request the Patriot Guard. It'll have a series of questions on the day of the service, the branch of the veteran, and all the information we would need to do a mission for them.
And you never show up unless you're asked.
We never show up unless we're asked.
Very good. And Tim? I know that there's some of your favorite events, and there's one coming up because in the next couple of months, we've got hundreds of Red Bull soldiers coming back from Kuwait. That's your favorite kind of mission, isn't it?
It is. Welcome homes are something special. You know, just to watch the families greet their loved ones that are coming back, it's just wonderful.
And Doug, you mentioned earlier the repatriations. Today, we're able to find the remains of our soldiers, our service members from previous wars, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and seems like every time I turn on the news, there's one coming home. Those are kind of special missions, aren't they?
Well, and they are. And, you know, often the family, the parents are no longer around. So a lot of times it's nieces and nephews and maybe children occasionally, depending on the age of the veteran who we lost. I can only urge everyone, if there's a missing veteran in your family, to submit your DNA and help them help you, you know, to identify your loved ones.
And when they come home, your riders love to go to those, don't they?
You know, it's just something else, Tom. You know, we meet them at the airport when they come in and down at the fire station at the Minneapolis airport. And law enforcement support is awesome. The airport support is awesome. And again, you see families who for 70 years sometimes, you know, been waiting to get some type of resolution to what happened.
And Tim, it's all about what? Those three words.
Honor, dignity, and respect.
Honor, dignity, respect. Especially for those old warriors.
Yes.
Gentlemen, when we've got to take a short break, when we come back, we're going to talk about your annual event called the Patriot Ride. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today to the Minnesota Patriot Guard. My guests have been Doug Bly and Tim Leonhardt. And Doug, I just want to talk a little bit more. In addition to going on about 500 missions a year, you go to the funerals, you go to the departure ceremonies, the welcome home ceremonies, you go to the veterans' homes, you do all of those things. But in addition to that, you have an event called the Patriot Ride, which we're going to talk about in a minute. But you raise some funds and you help support some other organizations throughout the year.
We do, Tom. I think we've over the last 5 years, we've probably averaged between $75,000 and $100,000 a year of money that we've either raised or have been given as donations from other people and help a lot of other groups out. We pay probably about $15,000 to $20,000 a year to help disabled veterans go hunting. We're big supporters of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, and through the Patriot Ride, which is a big part of our funding vehicle, we're super supportive of the Minnesota Military Appreciation Fund. So, you know, there's a lot of M's that go with this, Tom, but, you know, it's been our honor to be able to help people like that and to stand fast. And, you know, we've learned so much about the right way to help people and who's deserving of that help and trying to work with professionals such as the ones from the Family Assistance Center who really know how to vet people out, and, you know, our help to the MMFF with that has just been, it's been a great honor and a great learning experience.
So we all pull together to help our military and our and the military families.
Yeah, we're all smarter and better than we were 10 years ago.
And how many riders do you have, approximately?
We're going to say close to 5,000 at the Patriot Ride.
All over Minnesota.
They come from all over the country.
All over the country.
Actually, we have a large contingent of Canadians come down as well.
The Canadians are always there to help us, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Tim, we've got another special guest in the studio. Would you like to introduce him?
Bob Behan.
Yes, sir.
Dennis Kirk.
It was named Bob Behan or Dennis Kirk?
Yep.
I know the answer.
Same,
but,
same thing.
All right. Bob, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom.
You are the CEO of Dennis Kirk.
Yes, sir.
And for our listeners who might not know what that is, can you explain the Dennis Kirk organization?
Dennis Kirk is an online retailer of motorcycle parts, ATV, UTV, snowmobile accessories and apparel. So our roots are in motorcycling, motorcyclists, and we got involved to create the Patriot Ride to give back as kind of a community effort and a company give back.
Seems fitting that you'd team up with the Minnesota Patriot Guard. A lot of those guys and gals ride motorcycles. And
yeah, actually, the way it came about is Dennis Kirk used to have an open house, and we used it as a commercial vehicle to sell old closeout goods and things of that nature, and it really was an effort that wasn't producing much, and we decided, let's do something that gives back. And it was 2006, and the war was kind of messy and ugly, and we thought, why don't we do something to support the military? And Patriot Ride was born. We had 100 bikers the first year we did it in Rush City, and the results were, I don't know, we made a few thousand dollars and made an impact. Second year, we asked Doug and the Patriot Guard to get involved because we needed help. We needed to get it established and make it move and become something. And bang, since that start and that combination,
it's taken off.
Yeah. We've raised $2.7 million. We'll probably raise $200 million again this year. All goes to 501c3s. Nobody's compensated, 100% volunteer. And
Great work, Bob.
Yeah.
Doug, I want to come to you. Let's talk about the Patriot Ride. It's going to happen this year on June 22nd. It's up at the Anoka County Airport. Is that right?
That's correct.
Okay. Tell us about the ride, what it is, and what you accomplished there.
You know, the ride itself is maybe a little bit of a misnomer because it's really a celebration of our military and law enforcement people that day. We have speakers, you know, throughout the day. We have some fabulous displays. We've had motorcycle displays. We've had vintage aircraft displays, and it's really about just, you know, on that day, for us as citizens of Minnesotans to say we appreciate everything the military's done for us. So, as you said, June 22nd, it's up at the Anoka County Airport. It's actually at the fixed base operations that's called Lynx. The website is www.the thepatriotride.org.
Thepatriotride.org.
Right. You can pre-register on there. You can take a look at all the events that go on that day. And it's also open to not just motorcyclists. It's open to the general population. I think there's a $5 entry fee, you know, for people to come into the park that day. But vendor booths, we call it State Fair for Bikers.
I mean, Tim, we've talked about the fact that that's a family event, really, isn't it?
It is. Anybody can come.
Kids can come out there. There's food. There's music. There's lots to do. And there's a few motorcycles to see.
A few. The kids just love watching all the motorcycles coming in, just in waves.
And how many motorcycles did you have last year, Doug?
Well, I'm going to put that over to Bob and let him answer that.
All right.
We had just over 4,500 last year. The year before, we were over 5,000. Last year was impacted by weather a little bit, but we're on track to get over 5,000 again this year.
We're going to have Tim out there with the clicker counting them?
Tim's going to lead them when they head out on the road.
All right, so we want to talk about that event. Doug, do you have the raffle this year?
We do. There's a brand new Harley-Davidson, a Road Glide special, I believe, and it's a $10 raffle ticket, and you get a choice of the motorcycle or $15,000 in cash.
Never gave me my cash last year.
Well, we didn't pull your name out of it, and I don't.
Oh, that's why. All right.
Well, and I should probably sell you a ticket on the way out, Tom.
Yeah, I'm sure you will. You do every year.
No, but it's all the funds go back into the ride, and you know, credit to Dennis Kirk and sponsoring this ride. But the money it's raised and the group it helps, it's a tribute to the troops, Minnesota chapter, Patriot Guard, the MMAF, and then we're also doing Back in the Blue Line, which is for fallen law enforcement officers.
And there is actually a ride, a 70-mile ride here, and you start up a lot of motorcycles all at once, and by the time the first ones get done with the ride, the last ones are just leaving, isn't
it? We actually put them out in six waves, Tom, and it's a super safe ride. We have law enforcement support on every corner through that 70-mile route. We can't say enough for the help we get from law enforcement on the ride that day.
So this is a family affair, live music, vendors, food and drink, more. You can win yourself a motorcycle if you're the lucky. Who does that drawing, by the way? Does Tim do that?
No. We're not allowed to do that. But usually Brian Zepp is the MC that day, and he's usually pulling some pretty girl up to pull the ticket out.
Well, I'm still trying to figure out what Tim does there. But I think he was a road guard or something. Yeah. So, Bob, do you have the details? I'm seeing here registration is at 9 to 11:30, and the ride starts at noon.
Correct.
And do the riders pay to be part of that?
$30.
Okay. And do they need to register for that online?
They can do it online pre-ride, or they can do it the day of the ride.
So that's
choice.
At thepatriotride.org?
Correct.
Okay. Doug, why don't you run through the details of the day for us once again?
You know, again, come in the morning, 9 o'clock. It's up at the Lynx Fixed Base Operations for Anoka County Airport, June 22nd. Be there early to get some breakfast and to visit your friends and side of the veterans. The ride leaves at about 11:30 in six different waves, and we should be back in the park about 3:30, where everyone's back in, and that's when the program starts. The music that day is Emerson Avenue, which is a fabulous band who does only volunteer events and fundraising events for people. So it's a great day. We honor the Gold Star families that day. There's always a special section for that, and we end the program of the day with the playing of Taps in honor of those who have fallen.
So now I figured out what Tim's doing. He's going to dance while the music is playing. We're going to figure this out yet. Bob, you've got some great partners here. Dennis Kirk, you've been at this a long time. We just got a couple minutes left, but congratulations. They won't say it, but I will.
Yeah.
Congratulations on helping the guys and all the riders from the Minnesota Patriot Guard raise those funds and put it to good work.
Yeah. Thank you for that. But I always feel a little funny when somebody thanks us. There's 280 volunteers involved to put this event on. And, you know, Dennis Kirk is involved, and it's part of it. But without that support, there is no Patriot Ride. So I always want to make sure we recognize that all the hands that are involved.
And how many years is this now, Doug?
This will be the 14th.
14 years of doing this event.
Yeah.
And going strong.
Going strong. And, you know, how do you say no to 5,000 people when they want to show up?
Well, and for those of you that haven't come to this, it is a good family affair, and bring your kids. When they start up all those motorcycles, you can not only hear it, you're going to feel it.
Mm-hmm. It is something to, as that first group leaves, to feel the rumble and the roar from all those motorcycles going by.
And even if you don't go on the ride, there's stuff to do while you guys are out, and a nice program afterwards. And as we said, there's food and drink and some nice music and some great things going on. Doug, we just got about 30 seconds left. I'm going to give the final thoughts to you and Bob and Tim. Thanks for joining us today.
You know, I don't think we can say enough. You know, particularly last week was the 75th anniversary of the Operation Overlord, the D-Day invasion, and to those brave men and women who were over there, and to the thousands who crossed that beach and didn't come back home. I've been to that cemetery in Colville, and it's a very humbling experience to be there. I'm wearing my Ranger 2nd Division hat today in honor of those men and women who gave it all climbing those mountains. So thank you to all of our veterans, but most importantly to our Gold Star families. We love you, and we have your back.
So for our listeners today, from the flag line of the Patriot Guard, we're Doug Bly and Tim Leonhard and Bob Bean. And don't miss thepatriotride.org, thepatriotride.org. So please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to talk with the Minnesota Military Family Assistance Centers and find out how they help our Minnesota military families. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to meet with the Minnesota Military Family Assistance Centers and find out about all the great work they do. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
He was known fondly as the Star-Spangled Banner, red, white, and blue, Old Glory, Stars and Stripes, and the list goes on. The American flag is recognized across our country to far-reaching nations and even second and third world countries. Our flag stands as a beacon to the world, representing independence, liberty, patriotism, and freedom. It is a symbol of enduring hope. Each year, June 14th is recognized as Flag Day. Although this is a little known and even less celebrated day, let's commit to spend some time reflecting on our flag. Although it's just made of cloth, our flag represents all those throughout history who have stood against our enemies, braved unspeakable conditions and sustained injuries. Some gave lives. Even if you don't fly Old Glory every day, I would ask you to do so on June 14th. Fly your flag proudly, with honor and loyalty.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Nancy Launderville, who is the Family Assistance Center Coordinator for the state of Minnesota. Nancy, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hi, Tom. Thanks so much for having me again.
Nancy, I just want to remind our listeners, you come from a military family. You're married to someone who's been in the military for a few years.
Yep, just a few, about 38.
And you've got a couple of sons that also serve.
Yes, I have two sons, 29 and 26, that also served in the active duty Army.
So you've experienced deployments, you've experienced what it is to be a military family and to be there in support of your husband and your boys.
Absolutely, yes.
And that probably puts you in a great place to be the supervisor of the Minnesota Family Assistance Centers.
Well, it definitely gave me some background on some of the challenges that military families experience when their service member is away, whether it's for a deployment or even at a training or schooling. Things come up and we need to be able to help people when they're not quite sure what to do.
Now, can you tell our listeners, what's the mission of the Minnesota Family Assistance Centers?
Our mission is to support service members and their families with resources and referrals to other organizations that are able to help them solve their problems.
So for our Minnesota military families, such as the Minnesota National Guard, they have, in every unit, they have a family readiness group, family readiness people that can help them. But if they have an issue, if they have a problem, if they need some resources, They can call out to you and your fellow family assistance centers and get a whole myriad of resources.
Absolutely.
And what type of things do you help those families with?
Sure. We do a whole variety of things. We've had some people contact us that are moving here from another state. They might be going from active duty to the Minnesota National Guard. They need assistance with finding daycare facilities, different schools that might be available in their area if they're not sure where to go for that. So we do a variety of different things, and then we also help when things go wrong at home. Sometimes there are emergencies where furnaces break in the middle of winter and it's, you know, 32 degrees below zero and it's freezing cold and someone doesn't have a furnace available. So we help them find resources to either fix or replace that. We've also recently experienced a little uptick with some service members with homelessness that don't have a place to live. So we have resources available that we can connect them to get them immediate housing, but then also going forward, a place to stay as well. And then there's always the inevitable, just everyday things that might come up. Potentially there could be a car issue where a service member can't make it to drill because he needs a new part for his car or a transmission, or they've been in an accident. So we can help them again find community resources that are military friendly that can help get them through those issues.
So I understand you can help with some ID cards?
Correct.
And if there's any financial or legal issues, that you have some resources to help with that?
Yes, we do.
And occasionally the military families have, for I don't know what reason, some trouble with TRICARE, which is their health insurance.
Yes, and for TRICARE, it's not that we necessarily can change anything, but TRICARE in itself and an insurance is kind of a big animal. So we're able to provide them with phone numbers that they might not have available to them that they could utilize to get the answers that they're looking for to solve those problems.
So sometimes you're just directing them to the right resource that and the phone number and the person that can help them.
Correct.
Now, I understand you can also help with some parental and some youth resources.
Yes. So we have a great youth program in the state of Minnesota. They're constantly planning things for military children. Overnight stays at the zoo. We have a big, huge event every year at the Mall of America. So there's a lot of different things that are available for military kids that not everybody knows about. So again, they can contact the Family Assistance Center and we can put them in touch with our child and youth services group and they can help them.
So how many offices, how many people do you have?
Sure. We have 10 offices that are spread out throughout the state of Minnesota.
And the one of the easiest ways to get a hold of you is just to go online, look up Minnesota Military Family Assistance Centers.
That's the easiest way to do it. You can Google it. We also have a Facebook page that's called Minnesota Military Family Assistance Center. We have over 1,000 followers that follow that site. So we do put out a lot of information on there. If we get notifications of a company that is offering specific jobs to veterans, we post that. We post the child and youth events out there, community events like the Patriot Ride that you talked about earlier. We will post that out there. So there's a lot of different information that people can get.
So you're kind of a clearinghouse of resources and information. And if military families need to know anything, they can come talk to you.
Absolutely. Yep. That's what we want people to know. Instead of trying to remember all the different places they can go, they really need to remember the Family Assistance Center, and then we can get them to those other places that can help.
We're speaking with Nancy Launderville, the supervisor of the Minnesota Family Assistance Centers, on Minnesota Military Radio. So, Nancy, you and I have talked about this before. For veterans, we usually send those to the county veteran service officers because they know where all the resources are. But for current military families here in Minnesota, if they need help, if they need to find out where to go for whatever it might be, they get a hold of the Minnesota Military Family Assistance Centers, and you and your partners have all kinds of resources available.
Yes, we do.
We've got another special guest sitting in the studio, and I bet you'd like to introduce him.
Yeah. Sitting next to me is retired General John Trost, and he works currently with the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, which is a grant program that we work very closely with to help service members when they run into a little bit of a financial difficulty.
General Trost, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks, Nancy, for that wonderful introduction there. It's great to be back on the Minnesota Military Radio Network.
Thank you, General. We've just got a couple of minutes left in this segment. General, can you tell our listeners, what does the Minnesota Military Family Foundation do and how long they've been doing it?
Tom, our mission statement says that we provide a financial safety network to military families that are having a financial crisis. And we've been doing that since the fall of 2004. And over this short time frame, we've actually done over 1,900 grant requests, and we have exceeded now $4 million in grants. So it's a pretty powerful organization, the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. Pretty proud of what we've accomplished.
In general, you couldn't be able to do that without all of the fine work that the Family Assistance Centers do.
You know, it's quite a teammate we have with the Family Assistance Centers. We need them because they are really the clearinghouse for the grant requests that come to us, and they do wonderful work for the service members and their families. So that's where it all starts for the Minnesota Family Foundation, and we really are so we need them, quite frankly. We really do. They're a wonderful teammate, and and just do wonderful work for our service members and their families.
So, General, the Minnesota Military Family Foundation raises funds so that you have them available, and then you take a look at grant requests that come from the Minnesota Family Assistance Centers, and you approve those grants and deliver them as fast as you can to help those Minnesota military families, active duty, guard, reserve, all services.
All services. We cover anybody that's a resident of Minnesota that is still currently serving in the military, whether it be active duty, reserve component, National Guard, Air Guard, Army Reserve, Air Reserve, and Coast Guard up in Duluth. So we're covering all the different entities within the Department of Defense. And it's really turned out to be quite a deal. The foundation is so blessed in Minnesota. Minnesota continues to donate to the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, and without those funds, we really struggle. So they're doing a wonderful job in helping us.
Thank you, sir. General Nancy, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the Minnesota Military Family Assistance Centers and the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking today to Nancy Launderville from the Minnesota Military Family Assistance Centers and retired Major General John Prost from the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. And Nancy, I want to come back to you. When a military family experiences a financial emergency of some kind, they reach out to the Family Assistance Centers asking for help. How do you process that? What do you do with it?
Great question. So, service member or their family can contact the Family Assistance Center, and they'll tell us a little bit about their story, what's happened, the financial situation that they're in. And we get some other information from them, too, as well. But for the most part, once we've determined that they would be a solid candidate for potentially the MMFF grant, then we provide them with the application that they have to complete. We also tell them about some personal financial counselors that we have available. And it's not to say that they don't know how to manage their money, but sometimes it's just the simple tricks that they forget about doing, like maybe we don't need to spend $10 on coffee every single day, or maybe we don't need to go to the movies every single weekend.
Budgeting.
Yes, exactly. So we have them meet with them just to go over some things and give them some time to think about stuff. And then we submit the application once it's completed and turn it over to the MMFF Foundation for their consideration.
So you helped them process the application, done a little bit of due diligence, verified there's a financial need, maybe helped them find a vendor that'll fix the problem or the car or whatever it might be at a reasonable price, and then process that application, send it over to the Minnesota Military Family Foundation.
Correct.
In general, once we get that at the Minnesota Military Family Foundation, what happens then?
Well, it starts with an email that comes to the foundation, and their executive director forwards an email out to all of the board members. And the board members themselves look at the different requests and go through and do their due diligence on the request as well. And sometimes we do ask for further information, but I would say it's 90% of the time it goes right to a vote, and that usually happens within 2 hours with a message back to Nancy at the Family Assistance Centers that this is past the board of directors, and send us the rest of the information so that the Minnesota Military Family Foundation can pay the bills.
General, how are those bills paid? Do we hand the money to the service members, or who gets paid?
Well, it's very interesting you should ask. We pay the vendors. We pay the bills. We do not give money to the service member or the families. We want to make sure that the money goes to help right the ship, and so that they're financially are set for the near future. And then hopefully at the end of the day, they have taken this money and we've put it in the right spot so that they're ready for the future and can move forward with their lives.
In general, is the board providing money to just continue chronic problems, or is the board trying to solve the problems so that service member and their family can get back on with life?
You know, we want to solve the problem, Tom. What we want to do is get their ship headed in the right direction so that it does not come up again. And the foundation has a policy where we provide a grant once. And there's been a couple of rare exceptions where we've actually given a second grant request after a long period of time. But we want to fix it right the first time. And that's our goal, to help the families so that they're out of the deep woods and ready to go forward and with their lives.
General, we're almost out of time, but one last question. You retired as a two-star general, and you've commanded at all levels, and you've been deployed. How important is it to solve these financial problems when you've got service members deployed a half a world away and on important missions?
It's extremely important, because what we need is, when the soldiers are deployed, we need them to focus on the mission at hand over whenever the country may be. It is very much a relief to the soldiers. They know that something happens to their families at home, that will be addressed. And that is so important for their safety and for their peace of mind while they are deployed.
Very good, sir. Thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure, Tom.
Nancy,
thank you.
We've got a few seconds left. If anyone wants to get a hold of the Family Assistance Centers, what's the easiest way to find you?
The easiest way to find us, quite frankly, is using that Facebook page that's out there, the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. They can also go out to Google and put us in as the Minnesota Military Family Assistance Center. And then I also have an 888 number in case anybody wants to grab a pen. It's 888-234-1274. And by calling that number, you can pick the office that's closest to you and get connected right with that person that supports that area.
Nancy, General Trost, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank you, Tom. Enjoyed.
That was Nancy Launderville from the Minnesota Military Family Assistance Centers and retired Major General John Jensen from the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. Joining me now is the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. Sergeant Major, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey there, Tom. Great to be with you again. I appreciate it. Thanks again.
Sergeant Major, I heard a rumor that you were outside of Minnesota again, halfway around the world with your soldiers, and you were eating steaks.
Yeah, that's right, Tom. And I'll tell you what, that's one of the greatest things about my job, of course, to be able to travel around and visit with our troops. And especially special for us here on Memorial Day, the weekend, to celebrate with our soldiers in Kuwait at Camp Arif John and participate in that great Serving Our Troops event.
And Serving Our Troops have been doing that for many, many years. And it's my understanding that somewhere during that Memorial Day steak dinner over there and back here in St. Paul, they served their 100,000th steak.
Yeah, they certainly did, and I was there in Kuwait when they recognized that fine young man, one of our Red Bull soldiers, put the nice 100,000th steak apron on the soldier, and what a great accomplishment from a fantastic organization, and we just can't appreciate them and thank them enough.
Sergeant Major, do your soldiers appreciate all those civilians coming over there in that heat and cooking a steak dinner?
Yeah, you know, I obviously got plenty of time to visit with our troops, and that was the one thing. They're right around about that 60-day mark, and having a piece of home come over there and visit with them really helped them, to give them that boost of energy to, you know, get to the home stretch. So, yeah, they were very appreciative to see a piece of home.
Sergeant Major, we had on Nancy Launderville from the Minnesota Military Family Assistance Centers today, and last week we had on Colonel Kemp, and he was talking about all of the missions that are going on. We've got Red Bulls in Kuwait. We've got the ECAB going out. We've got the XETC coming up. We've got the National Training Center coming up. Your plate is full in the Minnesota National Guard, and that means the families sometimes need help.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things, one of the points, and I know Colonel Kemp addressed as well, is, you know, to the listening audience and to, you know, the rest of Minnesota, we are deploying, and our troops, soldiers, and airmen are doing a lot of training exercises, and so we still have a lot of people outside of their normal duty, so to speak, of that what we would traditionally call a minimum of 1 week in a month and 2 weeks a year, and those family assistance centers, the family support, the employer support, all of those organizations, the people that come together to provide that support to our soldiers and airmen is absolutely vital. The operational tempo is not slowing down, And to have that support network available really relieves a lot of stress and pressure from our soldiers and airmen as they go off to go do the things that they need to do to accomplish the mission.
Sergeant Major, we're real happy when we have an opportunity to report on various groups helping our not only our service members, but their families. Minnesota's right up there in front.
Yeah, they certainly are. We lead the way. And, of course, you know, the Yellow Ribbon started right here in Minnesota, and it's become the national framework, so to speak. And Minnesota's got great support. The community is always behind us. And, you know, like I said before, those the family members, those employers, and we just can't do it with we couldn't do it without that support.
Sergeant Major, thanks for joining us again today.
All right, Tom. Hey, take care. I look forward to talking to you soon.
That was the Senior Enlisted Advisor to the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham. We have one mention today. After proudly caring for almost 1,000 Minnesota veterans and their families since opening in 1994, the Minnesota Veterans Home in Laverne is celebrating its 25th anniversary this month. The home is proud to be a vital part of the Laverne community and offers an excellent option for skilled nursing care to veterans and their spouses, and also provides a great place to work for employees. To learn more about the home, visit minnesota-veteran.org. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Doug Bly, Tim Leonhardt, Bob Behan, Nancy Launderville, retired Major General John Trost, Command Sergeant Major Doug Wortham, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we get a legislative update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs and check in with our 34th Infantry Division, Red Bull Soldiers in Kuwait. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at minnesotamilitaryradio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at minnesotamilitaryradio.com.